The Pineapple Project, talking about dream careers. You know who I think has a dream job? Dr. Belle Alderman. She joins you now. She is the children's literature and director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. Belle, welcome to Afternoons again.
Thank you again.
Well, I always think, look, the reason why I think you have a dream job is that you talk about children's literature and you love it.
I love it. I love it. I definitely do. If you show me a book, I'm going to read it.
What was it that got you into specifically children's literature?
Well, I had next door neighbors and a family that read books and read them to me. And even as a very young child, I used to lend out my books and I put a card in the back and I charged them if they returned the books late. So I was bound to be a librarian of one kind or another. And then I discovered the beauty of kids' books again when my son was born. Joined him up with a book club. And so every month he got 3 new books. And by the time he was just barely waddling around, he was able to talk about books. Yeah. He just loved them.
That's fantastic. One of my obviously, you know, with my mother reading books to us and older siblings reading books to us, but I was just mentioning before the read-along books that you used to get in the little records and, you know, the little sound that it used to make when you had to turn the page to the next page. I used to love those things. Couldn't get enough of it.
I know. I mean, it's wonderful that we had these things that helped us become readers.
That's absolutely. And on Afternoons, with Dr. Belle Alderman, we're talking about notable books. So if you could just remind us, we started talking about this last week, Belle, but can you just remind us what is it that is, what kind of books make it on to this list of notable children's books?
The Children's Book Council of Australia is determined that it's going to pick high literary quality, both artistic and words. And so that's been their mantra since 1945. And I think they do a very good job at it. They pick, you know, there are other books that are just as good, but they have to choose a short list and they have to choose a list of notables. So at the moment, we're at the notables list.
Okay. And do you find that it really focuses you when you have to say, okay, you know, let's define a notable book when you're pulling them together for this list, Belle?
Exactly. You have to look at a book closely. And what is it that makes this book memorable? Why would this book be chosen rather than another book? Mm. Because there were 450 books that were entered. How did they come up with only this many that they've called notable? So there's 5 categories and they picked 20 in each one. How hard would that be if you were choosing from 150 beautiful picture books? How would you choose one?
Absolutely. Especially all the ones that you've picked out for us so far, Belle, have just been absolutely beautiful. What else has caught your eye from this list?
Well, this is a picture book called My Sunbeam Baby, and it's illustrated and written by Emma Quay, and I think it's just perfect. Now, if I just read the first page.
I love it when you read from them.
See my bouncing baby, jiggling on my knee, then snuggling for a story. Just baby, book and me.
Oh, now, that's gorgeous. Every picture page, of baby in the sunshine.
Yeah, every page is simply wonderful. And the whole page is full of this free verse that has this jilting, joggling sound. And it ends up with the most wonderful ending possible that says, see my bouncing baby, see my baby jig. You will always be my baby, even when you're big.
And what parent hasn't said that to their child? You know, it doesn't matter how big you are, you're always my baby.
She did a really good job.
Oh,
I think that I can't fault that book anywhere.
Yeah. And it's just that beautiful, simple, when it comes to the illustrations, when it comes to, you know, I guess it's deceptively simple verse in there, isn't it?
You're right. I think that, you know, she's managed to pick things that will entice a baby, because this is really a book that you'd share with a baby that's under a year old.
Really?
Okay. Yes, because, you know, you could jiggle them on your knee. It's got all the actions in there. And it's got a lot of things that children will find puzzling and interesting and fascinating.
I'm fascinated. I wanted to hear the story, and I'm supposed to be a grown-up. So what else has caught your eye, Belle?
Well, this one is called Rainbow Bear.
Oh, I think I'm going to like this one as well.
And it's by Stephen Michael King, who has a very big body of work. He really knows how to capture one. And this Rainbow Bear has been visiting, has been traveling. And when the rainbow bear comes home, he, of course, hugs the bears, these little bears, and he laughs and he talks. And that night, when he goes to sleep, the little bears paint him. So he ends up being an incredible rainbow bear. And night after night, the little bears paint their dad. And at first he's quite puzzled. He wakes up and then he looks down and he sees that he's these miraculous different rainbow colors.
Yes.
And then he finally wakes up one night and he thinks, I know what it is. So he wakes up early. And what does he do? He goes and paints his little bears. So it's very simple.
And what's the message, do you think, in this story?
Well, I don't think there's a message at all.
Other than it's fun to be painted like a rainbow.
Well, I think it's lovely to have a family. There's a lot of cuddles and hugs and fun and games. That is really important to show and really to share with kids. So I think it's kind of a subliminal message about the happiness of families, of sharing things. And also, it's funny.
Yes, and rainbows are awesome as well. Colour. And what age group do you think that one's aimed at, Belle?
Well, a little bit older than my Sunbeam baby. So I would say, 3 years old would find this very funny because there's a joke. And the kids will notice the joke before Daddy Bear does.
Okay. You're on Afternoons with Paula Kruger, and we're talking about children's books, specifically notable children's books, with Dr. Belle Alderman. She is an Emeritus Professor of Children's Literature. She's also the Director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. And so what else should I be reading from this notables list, Belle?
I think it's important to have a range of nonfiction books, mm-hmm. books that are true and accurate. We know that there are some children that's the only kind of book they want to read. So I've picked three from the notable list. And the first one I want to talk about is called The Giant Book of Germs.
Oh.
Now, a warning, it's got some pretty yucky stuff in here.
Oh, that makes it even better.
Yeah.
Bodily functions are hilarious.
The kids are going to love it.
Yep.
And the parents are going to. For example, here's a wonderful picture with your microbes.
With all the germs on my hand, they look awesome.
Yeah,
They're so colourful and weird.
Exactly. And things like, here's a sneeze. And we all know what you've been told is to sneeze into your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you the facts that the microbes in the drops travel 4 meters and stay alive for 45 minutes. So if someone inhales some of that mucus, then they're going to get those germs. So this is quite a scary book in some way.
Absolutely. And they've got a photograph of a man who on a profile doing a massive sneeze, and it's got a lot of spray in there. And it's got a picture of a digestive system with all the bugs in there. This is all cool stuff.
It's also got some activities.
Okay.
So I think that's quite a good book for an information book.
Yes. Yep. Now, bodily functions, and stuff that comes out of your body always
is
fascinating.
Appealing.
Yes,
yeah. Exactly.
The noises too. Love it all.
Exactly.
And so what else is on the nonfiction list?
This one is a serious book.
Okay.
And it's called The Sorry Day.
Mm.
So you probably automatically realize this is going to be about respecting Aboriginals being the original landowners of Australia and the apology that was made by the Prime Minister at that point in time. But the interesting thing about this book, written by Carl Vass and illustrated by an Aborigine named Dub Leffler, is that it's a dual story.
Mm.
It's two stories in one, two children in two time frames. And you think, oh, this sounds really difficult. But it's very, very clever. For example, here's the girl in contemporary times, but it's juxtaposed against the Aboriginal child from a time past. And the little girl in contemporary times has lost her mother.
Mm.
And in this case, this double page spread with the Aborigines shows the white people coming to grab the children and take them away. They, of course, at that time, the white people thought that was the right thing to do.
Mm.
But this book is all about what happens and how they feel,
and
both the little girl losing her mother and wondering where she is, being terribly frightened, and the Aboriginal children running away. So it's quite a serious book.
It's a serious book, but I just know that when I try and, when my kids have been at different ages and you try to describe to them exactly what happened.
Very hard.
It's very hard, and it's very hard for them to. It's very hard for them to believe. They actually believe it, and it's disturbing. Right. And it's a story that you need to tell them. Would this book be something that would help me tell that story?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it has a double page fold out spread that shows over time the two cultures and what can be said. Mm. In the back of the book, there's an actual extra history, because remember, this is a nonfiction book.
Yeah.
It's fictionalized about that story, but it's nonfiction in the back, with giving images and pictures and more details for older children. So whenever your child asks about this is the perfect time. You've got this book called Sorry Day.
Yeah, and so I guess that first part of the story is for the younger child, and
exactly.
You know, and then you can, you know, upgrade it, I guess, you know, with the more detailed information, because it almost looks like news information in the back of that book.
Yes,
there for the older ones who want to know more.
It is.
So, and you often find when you talk about these things, Belle, they do keep asking questions, and so as a parent you need to have
the
facts
extra amount of information. So it's quite an idea your book,
yes,
from that perspective.
Yeah, very interesting. And and also in nonfiction, what's it's got a beautiful bird.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And this is actually an illustrator and an author that I don't know of, but it's all about Australian birds.
Mm.
It's a very large format book. In other words, if you had a book like this, it wouldn't fit on your shelf. It's just too tall. But if you've got a bird, you really need a lot of space.
You do.
And this is
beautiful pictures of birds.
Absolutely wonderful illustrations in each case. And the text is just the right amount. For example, just reading a couple of lines of the magpie. Adult magpies have smooth black and white feathers, but the chicks are fluffy and gray. Now, that's pretty enticing, don't you think?
It does.
And it goes
I want to know why.
And each page has a little bit about their nesting habits, whether they, for example, as we all know, magpies have a tendency to swoop on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But only when they have their young in their nest.
Mm.
And this one tells you that they are usually quite tame and friendly. So I think this is quite a special book. Beautifully produced.
Yeah.
Just the right amount of information. Middle primary, you know, but there are a lot of kids very young who love nonfiction. So you could introduce it much younger, because it doesn't take long to read it with them.
Yes. And like you say, they've got beautiful giant illustrations of birds in there. And you know, especially when it comes to things like magpies, when you're trying to explain swooping to your child and they say, oh, it's terrible, why do they do that? And you say, well, they're doing it the same way I want to protect you.
Mike.
You know, that's what they're doing. And then, okay, but, you know, why do I have to wear a helmet out in public and, you know, look like a goose? And what else have you got for us, Belle?
Well, this one is interesting. Fairy tales for feisty girls.
I'm liking the sounds of this.
I think you're absolutely right. So now we know that a lot of the fairy tales, the girls are rescued. The guys are the ones with the heroes.
Yeah, oh, please.
And this one, every one of the stories is a parody on the original.
Okay.
So you know the girls are going to be quite feisty and unusual. For example, I'm thinking of Little Red Riding Hood. We all know that, you know, what happens. She gets gobbled up in most of them, and the grandmother gets gobbled up, and the woodcutter comes along and cuts open the cuts open the wolf.
It's pretty
gory.
Yeah.
But in this case, Little Red Riding Hood turns out to be a naturalist. She collects plants and flowers, and she has a little journal that she records what they're, if you eat them, what would happen to you. So she knows that some of these plants are actually going to put people to sleep. So you and I already know what's going to happen. So she does meet the wolf, and she's a very polite little girl. She says, how are you? And he says, oh, I'm fine. You know, he tries to entice her to go look for some more plants once he discovered she's a naturalist. And, of course, it's a furphy. There are no other plants that she's looking for. So eventually he goes to the grandmother, and she's a pretty feisty grandmother. While he's stuffing her in the trunk, she lets a bit of her nightgown hang out of the trunk because she knows that Little Red Riding Hood is going to spot it.
That's
so
right.
Of course, so Little Red Riding Hood comes into the house. She's immediately suspicious.
Well, Belle, what grandmother isn't feisty, you know?
Well, and how can there possibly be that a wolf looks like a grandmother? And
yeah,
of course, Little Red Riding Hood said, you don't really look like my grandmother. And he kept convincing her. And she said, why don't we have a cup of tea? What does she put in the cup of tea?
But
a magic potion to put him to sleep. So all ends well, and she definitely is a feisty girl.
So what was the name of that one, Belle? I'm writing that one down. That was Feisty...
Fairy Tales for Feisty Girls.
Excellent. And what age group, you know, would you... Well, other than 46-year-old women like me?
It makes a lot more sense if you know the original.
Yes.
So I think, you know, upper primary, because they're going to find this silly and funny, and they're going to know the originals.
Yes, okay, excellent. Excellent. Belle, it has been wonderful talking to you about children's books again. Thank you so much for joining us on Canberra Day.
You're so welcome.
That's Dr. Belle Alderman. She is a professor of children's literature and director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. You're on Afternoons with Paula Krug.